The Carmen and Yurko podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to Tito'sHometownTales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's Tito'sHometownTales.com.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
He's happy with where he's at here, and he's in a good place. And that's not, you know, for us, we feel like with Andy, Justin, and Nick, our quarterback room right now is pretty good. And you need to have a quarterback in this league to win games. Talking about a Super Bowl MVP and a guy that started a lot of games, and he's had a really interesting career in so many ways that I just think that he deserves that. I mean, anybody that's had the career he has is somebody that's always going to be for all teams. You know, as a third string guy, teams are going to look at guys like him.
It's Matt Nagy talking about Nick Foles. The early 90s comedy My Blue Heaven is a favorite around these parts. And if you're unfamiliar with the movie, I'll tell you that there's a scene early on where Barney Cooper Smith's in his car listening to San Diego sports talk radio, and they're lamenting the struggles of Padres pitcher Wally Bunning. Right? That was his name, wasn't it?
Yeah, Wally Bunning.
And he says, fans, the host says, fans, what are we going to do about Wally Bunning? And Wally Bunning ends up running off with Rick Moranis' wife, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah. I feel like we've been saying ever since Fields was signed, like, what are they going to do with Nick Foles?
Exactly.
But like, well, now we might know what they can do with Nick Foles, because poor Carson Wentz just can't stay healthy. And that's a whole different conversation. It's such a fine line for these pro athletes. 4 years ago, this guy's the MVP of the league. He tears his ACL in L.A., and things have never been the same. I mean, like, they win the Super
Bowl
without
him. Diving for a touchdown.
Diving
for a touchdown. Like, foot not on the ground.
Right.
He tears it when it gets sandwiched in between two people.
Make no mistake, Carson Wentz was the MVP of the National Football League that year.
He was
walking to the award with 4 weeks left, and he got hurt. Then they win the Super Bowl without him in Philly. And they build statues and name cheesesteaks after Nick Foles, not Carson Wentz. They chase him out. He's reunited with Frank Reich in Indy.
Carmen.
Oh, and he's hurt.
They're making statues of him that you could hang your laundry on. If you know what I'm talking about.
And he's going to screw the Eagles fans again, because guess what? Now he's not going to play enough for that pick to be a first rounder. Like, the Eagles fans have to be irate today. The only thing they were hoping was, like, let him go stink in Indy, but play so we get a first round pick out of it.
Yeah.
Well, now we've got something to do with Nick Foles. Let's bring in Dan Wiederer. He joins us on the Corona Hotline. And this news is breaking right now that Carson Wentz will indeed need foot surgery. And he's out anywhere from 5 to 12 weeks. That's a pretty big gap.
It'll be at least 6, because 6 weeks to ossify, Carr. Remember how I say it?
Yeah.
And anytime you start putting tackle or put other stuff in there, you know, metal, it takes a couple more weeks.
I mean, 6 weeks, you know, he's still going to probably miss a week or two of the season. But I guess that wouldn't be devastating. Dan, is Ryan Pace on the horn? He's got to be calling his counterpart there, Ballard, right? And then he's going, hey, we'll give him to you. What do you want for him?
Well, you got to remember that there was some chatter in Philadelphia that Carson Wentz didn't really like living under Nick Foles' shadow anymore either.
Oh,
and so there's a dynamic there where if you're Indianapolis and you go trade for Nick Foles, and then Carson Wentz is ready in week 5, and now you've got a quarterback room that has this weird sort of awkward friction to it because your starter doesn't want the other guy there, then that's a problem there. So just keep tabs on that. On this day in Nick Foles news here at Halas Hall, Nick is going to talk to us in the media today. It'll be the first time that we have met Nick face-to-face. It will also be the first time we talked to him since he was preparing to face the Vikings last November. And so there's a lot of ground to cover with Nick Foles. A lot has happened in his life since the last time that we had him on a Zoom call, you know, about 8 months ago. And so there's going to be a lot of ground to cover. All three quarterbacks speaking today, and a lot to get at with all three of them.
All right, who's quarterback wise? I mean, that's all we ever talk about. Now with Justin Fields, it's certainly all we really care about. Let's face it. But how was the weekend between the two from the way you saw it?
Well, let me give you a glowing review after today's practice here up at Halas. And I think things are running more smoothly and efficiently, certainly in camp, than they did at any point in camp a year ago. There just seems to be less shakiness with the offense overall with both these guys, whether it's Dalton running with the ones or Fields running with the twos. There are just fewer hiccups in practices that make you kind of your stomach churn a little bit, right? So that's good news if you're a Bears fan, that, okay, if you can solidify the quarterback position, now hopefully the rest of the offense can run a lot smoother than it has the last few seasons. Fields today made a few throws in 7-on-7 that are just those balls that whistle off his hand. And look, there's a lot more to accuracy than completing a pass, right? It's whether the receiver can catch it in stride and turn a ball caught 12 yards downfield into a 21-yard gain. And there are a few of those today that Fields threw where you say, man, this accuracy is really fun to watch. On the Dalton front, I just think there's a confidence there, both within Andy and within the coaches and teammates around Andy, that, okay, this guy knows what he's doing, and there are going to be fewer game-losing mistakes from Andy Dalton in 2021. And look, we're talking baby steps when you're talking about the quarterback position for the Chicago Bears. Those are a couple good ones.
What's going on with Tevin Jenkins, and should we be concerned?
Do we have a Chris Williams situation?
We're getting yelled at for even suggesting that, but my goodness, I mean, when Cam starts and there's a back injury for a rookie, it kind of makes you think of Chris Williams in, what was that, 2014?
It was whenever terrible. It was all whenever over it was, it was, and it was terrible.
Before that, 2008, whenever the hell it was, I don't know.
Concern is 100% justified, right? This is practice number 5 in the books today. That's 5 opportunities for Tevin Jenkins to go out there and get comfortable on the left side where he doesn't have a lot of experience. Look, they're going to put the pads on tomorrow down at Soldier Field. They're going to take an off day Wednesday or come back Thursday, the pads again. And so you need to see Tevin Jenkins at some point this week in order for that concern level not to elevate. Matt Nagy was positive today. He said things are progressing in the right direction. He's just not cleared to practice yet. Well, progressing in the right direction doesn't get the Bears any closer to having a starter at left tackle for week 1 against the Rams, right? And so certainly the concern is justified. And until you see Tevin out there, look, you need to see him go through a week or two of practices with no regression with the back, right?
Right.
I mean, he's got back tightness and he hasn't practiced yet.
Yeah.
Now go through a couple training camp practices. They're going to put the pads on. Tevin's going to need a few days to ramp up before he's in the full mix of what they're doing offensively. The clock is ticking. That season opener will sneak up on you. And again, I've said for the last week that Elijah Wilkinson's name should be on the tip of your tongue because that might be your week 1 starter in L.A.
Cole Kmet, how's he progressing early in camp? He has to take over as the starter, does he not?
Looks great. Looks great, Yerk. And 100% the development curve is pointed in the right direction. Cole talked to us last week about having the opportunity after minicamp to go down to Nashville for that tight end thing that was put on by Kittle and Kelsey, and Greg Olson was part of that as well. And just the ability to just be with tight ends for a few days and really pick their brains and you know, just dive into little details that helped him get better. He looks great so far, and there's an obvious comfort level with the quarterbacks. Now it's up to Matt Nagy to back up his promise to get Cole a lot more involved in the offense. We'll see how that progresses. But, yeah, there's nothing to be concerned about with where Cole Kmet's at right now.
We know you got to go in a minute here. The 3 quarterbacks is talking to you guys, so that'll be interesting to hear some of that. But real quick, I think it was Friday maybe you were on with Waddle and Sylvie, and I heard the complimentary things you were saying about how David Montgomery's look, just his poise, his attitude, everything. Anybody else like really standing out? Like you said, 5 practices in the books. Anybody else kind of jumping off the page?
Well, let me give you a couple of defensive backs just to watch this month. Number 1 is Kendall Vildor, who seems like he is confident to try to seize that second outside cornerback job starting, right? And maybe wedge himself in front of Desmond Trufant and be the second starter opposite of Jalen Johnson. That's a guy who's playing with confidence here in camp. I would also point out Thomas Graham as a rookie, who is one of these guys who's going to get a lot of action in preseason games, and he's a guy that just always seems to be around the ball. And so it's one of those guys that, look, we're talking about preseason action against the Dolphins, the Bills, and finally the Titans. He's a guy that may show up on your TV screen a lot, and you're going to go, man, I like this kid, right? Like, he just is there. He's around the ball, has a confidence about him. So those are 2 young player names that I'll give you, and we'll keep tabs on them as the month progresses.
Dan, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you later in the week.
Awesome. Good talking to you guys.
See you, man. You too. Dan Weider from the Tribune covering the Bears and one of our teammates here at Dan Weider on Twitter. That's your guy too, Vildor. You like Kendall Vildor.
15 most important Chicago Bears that I put on the list, Kendall Vildor was there. You know, I was mocked by those.
Why would you be mocked for that?
There were some that were mocking me. He's not even a starter. That's not that.
Didn't you get the idea that he was the one kind of making Fuller?
That's what I
expendable.
Felt. Well, listen, the idiotic management of the salary cap is what made Kyle Fuller expendable. But then having somebody that can play to a certain level, And remember the one interception that Kyle Fuller gave us last year, how exciting we all were over that one.
It was thrilling.
16 games. Thank you for the one. It's a miracle. It makes him more replaceable at a lesser price. People don't believe that, but that's the way it works.
I never mocked you for Kendall Vildor. I agree. No, I think I only mocked you
others
for...
Others have.
Yeah, I only mocked you because I don't think you had Justin Fields on your list.
I did. He was number 15.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what I mocked you about.
And then the other guy was number 13. I had both of my quarterbacks on the list.
Yeah, that's the only thing I mocked. Right.
Whose list came out first, Waddle's or your ghost?
Tom Waddle's list came out, one at a time. All 15 of mine were available instantaneously.
We were messing with Waddle.
Right, you know. I know. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I was having fun.
I'm
going to
do my 15.
I did my 15, but my 15 was very similar to Tommy's.
Yeah, well,
very similar.
I think Waddle was
Tommy's.
A little bit more accurate where he had Justin Fields. That's just me personally.
Well, did he even have him on the list?
He was number one.
I thought Austin Dillon was number one.
Austin Dillon? Isn't he a race car driver?
I believe he might be. Who am I thinking of? Andy Dalton. That's who I'm thinking of. Andy Dalton.
No.
Austin Dillon is a race car driver.
There's only one answer as to who's the most important bear. It's Justin Fields.
Not if he doesn't play this year,
he's going to play.
If he doesn't play this year, he is not the most important bear.
I'm going to go Coach Ditka.
Sylvie's crap that he started to say, his development's the most important. Not to this team this year, it's not.
I had a dream over the weekend that we were hanging with Coach Ditka. But it was like,
terrible. That's a premonition.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
But no, here's the good thing. Like, it was, you know, we've heard coaches. Look, Coach is like, I think almost 80 now, isn't he? Or maybe into his 80s. And poor guy's body was beat half to hell from the era in which he played. He lived a hard life, you know. And we've heard Coach is not in, like, the health that he once was. But
Coach is 81.
He's 81. Maybe this is a good sign. The dream was like he was young, spry coach. Like we were hanging all of us together.
That's even worse.
You think?
Yeah. Young, spry coach. That's like a memory from the past.
Boy.
It's like looking at the windows of one's life.
We were hanging.
When you do that, that's not a.
It was weird. I remember up
that's
thinking,
a weird
like, man,
premonition,
we were hanging out with Coach.
Especially with the start of a football season coming up.
Maybe it's because like North was telling a story about being at dinner with Mike.
Coach.
Mike North talking about being at a dinner with Mike. Ditka,
right?
Like at Ditka's way back in the day, and maybe I was just thinking about it. You know, Fernell was in here. We were reminiscing about all the great times at Ditka's, which is now closed. The one down here, anyway.
Yeah, you can go to Oak Brook Terrace.
Oak Brook is
still
you
over there.
The one down here was such a special place. You know,
it was
the old brownstone, and you walk upstairs. And
yep.
Coach was always there.
They tried to squeeze the coach on the rent. They tried squeezing the coach on the rent. Coach says, "Keep it."
So you think they can flip Nick Foles to? To Indy, but Weider brings up a good point. Like, Wentz might be like, right. No, you can't do that.
I don't think they can, but a rash of injuries around the league might help. Something happened to Dak Prescott?
No.
Well,
his last week.
What happened?
It was a shoulder. Shoulder issue, right?
Thank you. I was vacationing.
Because they were saying that.
Has Dak missed practice?
I don't know how serious.
He shut down.
Right. I don't know how serious it is.
That.
But if you get 3-4 starting injuries around the league, then Nick Foles is going to end up being moved for a backup somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
He will get moved. So you hold on to him, being patient, and you wait.
Dak expects to throw in a couple days, says there's no
worry.
There
you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
But they said that part of the concern, and greater medical minds than me were saying this, that when you have an injury like he had, you seem to overcompensate in other issues. So they're saying that's maybe why he's having the arm fatigue right now or the arm issue, but I don't know.
Speaking of shoulder injuries, I mean, poor Tatis. Fernando can't keep that thing in place. They said if this doesn't respond now,
it's going to be surgery.
Season-ending shoulder surgery is on the table for Fernando Tatis.
Got to tighten it up.
Wow.
Which would be crazy just on another front because DeGrom was your clear-cut favorite for MVP. Now he's done.
He's down
Tatis
until September.
Tatis is now your clear-cut favorite, and he might be done.
Wow. So, well, who do we got to wager on? Who do we have a wager on that was further down the list?
In the NL, who would be up next in the NL on a contending team right now? I'm going to guess it would be... Max Muncy, maybe?
Max Muncy, I think, is your third favorite.
That'd be my guess.
How about Buster Posey again?
Oh, but that's a good call. I mean,
No, it's not.
But the season he's had is something,
though,
Miller.
It's, look, I agree. His batting average is really high, but he's got like 40 RBI.
Yeah, that's an old stat. We know.
Okay, it may be an old stat. You think
No, I know. You're right.
He's not.
Max Muncy would probably be the next guy up 312-332.
Well, he's hurt too.
3776.
Our old guy, Nick Castellanos.
Nick Castellanos, but he's hurt. Castellanos is having a great year. If they make the playoffs, if he comes back and they make the playoffs.
And maybe Joey Votto keeps hitting homers.
Dude, that guy. We gave that out on Friday, plus 340 in the odds couple. We said, take Joey Votto one more night, plus 340. He had a home run Friday night.
Let me give you a long shot right now. It's 60-1. And if Tatis Jr. goes out and they end up making the playoffs still, Manny Machado is on a heater right now. He is destroying the ball.
I wish he were on the White Sox, too. When we come back, are the Bulls about to strike a big deal in free agency? We're leading up to the start of free agency. It's about 7 hours away. We'll discuss that next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Trade deadline last week in baseball was the flurry of activity around the league, and just here in Chicago was incredible. NBA free agency starts tonight, York, 6 o'clock. And the Bulls continue to be connected to Lonzo Ball. I have to admit, I've done a little bit of a... I said in our story on Instagram this morning, like a 90, maybe a 180 on Lonzo, a little bit. I mean, a couple years ago, I was arguing here with Dave McMenamin. I said, he's a complete disaster as an offensive player. And he goes, well, I disagree. I was like, disagree. I mean, he was shooting 40% from the floor, 30% from three, and 40% from the free throw line. I said, Dave, I got news for you. I don't care how good of a passer you are. That's a disaster offensively.
You can't overcome that.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, you would have to be Michael Cooper tough on defense to be able to stick around the league.
I've got to give Lonzo a lot of credit. First of all, he's been in like nothing but dysfunctional situations. You know, the way the whole thing started in L.A. and then LeBron getting there the next year. Stan Van... I love the Van Gundy family, and I really like having Jeff on. You got to stay away from Stan Van as the coach. Haven't we learned this at this point? You know, like, that thing didn't go well for them down there. But I'll give Lonzo credit. In the last 2 years, he's about a 38% three-point shooter. He's become a much more reliable free-throw shooter. I'll take him over Ben Simmons. And while that's another thing I continue to argue about with NBA fans and Bulls fans, because while he's not the defender Ben is, and he doesn't have the size, he's a very capable defender, and he's not afraid. I mean, at least Lonzo will shoot the ball. At least he's worked on his game. There is apparent work being done.
Right.
Because he has improved as a shooter so much. It was one of our young producers, one of the young guys here who we talk about from time to time, Tyler Aki. He was in for Abdallah a little bit last week. Tyler bounces around on the show. He's a great young kid. And he's a big NBA fan. You might not have been here the day he joked. He quipped. He goes, what does he do at practice? Does he just practice slides all day? Because he is a great defender. But, what is Ben Simmons doing for 4 years at practice that he can't shoot a three? Not even attempt one.
At some point, you'd want to develop that.
Take Lonzo. I'll take Lonzo Ball at $20 million over Ben Simmons at 36. Sign me up. I've made a 180 on Lonzo Ball. I think he would help the Bulls, who desperately need an upgrade at point guard.
I'm raising my hand in the air. Who's the kid they drafted in the second round from Illinois? Io?
Io DeSumo, yeah.
What are we doing with him?
Well, that's the plan. Io's going to be, haven't we tried that with Kobe White and a few? I mean, I like the pick, fine. But, Lonzo's a little bit more capable than Io DeSumo at this point, isn't he? I mean... I think there are things to like about Lonzo. I think he would fit on the Bulls.
Carm, you're telling me you're going to bring Lonzo in here, and I heard the numbers you were throwing around earlier.
4 years, $84 million.
4 years, $80 million. So why did you draft Io? If for the next 4 years at $20 million a year, what are
you
doing?
Well, you need a backup. You need point guards badly.
I need a backup.
I mean, they've been connected to Derek. They've been connected. I mean, you think Io DeSumo, they're going to... You want the Bulls to roll out Io?
No, I'm trying to understand the philosophy.
Well, he's...
There's got to be a philosophy that you have as you move
forward. They're picking 38th. He's a hometown kid, and they need a point guard. But look, that's not a plan for let's go to the playoffs with Zach and Vooch next year.
So they could have sold the draft choice, and I wouldn't have had a problem with it.
No, that's stupid too, though.
Well, no, that's not, though. What are you doing? That's my point.
You can still develop. Io can develop into a player for you. I mean, you don't know.
They haven't done it yet. We haven't gotten Lonzo here. I'm not saying that Io's the answer. I'm not saying anything you got on this Bulls roster is the answer. Just what are you doing?
I think you're picking 38th, and you needed.
I mean, I'm watching somebody make a cake right now, and I'm like, okay, what's going on? I mean, are we putting anything in here that's going to make this cake taste better than it was?
This is no secret. This has been rumored for over a year. They might not ultimately get them. New Orleans might want to do a sign and trade and they can get from Boston more than what they could get from the Bulls. And this is all starting out with Boston because John Hollinger from The Athletic has said that, or not John Hollinger, it was somebody else. Yeah, maybe it was Hollinger that said that Boston is hot on the tail.
Don't they have the right of first refusal down there?
They do. A restricted free agency, yes. But it's kind of believed that they're going to move them. Bleacher Report's Jake Fisher wrote this morning. Lonzo Ball is still expected to sign an offer sheet with Chicago, except the Bulls require a few financial moves before they can extend him the roughly four-year, $84 million contract that's been discussed in league circles. Should Chicago find trade partners for Tomas Satoransky and Thaddeus Young in the coming hours, that would provide further indication of the Bulls' Ball pursuit, just like Dragic's option with Miami. And it looks like Miami's going to maybe get Kyle Lowry. Although Boston's interest in Ball continues to be mentioned by various league sources. John Hollinger threw in the Charlotte Hornets and the Indiana Pacers into the equation this morning. Lonzo turns 24 in October. And I'd be more excited about that than a Ben Simmons. The Bulls aren't trading for Ben Simmons anyway. That's pie in the sky. There's no possible connection.
Ball's still a young enough player with enough quality years in front of him that you'd be more than happy to have Lonzo Ball.
I got to admit. I don't know if I think Bulls fans are on the same page, I think. 312-332-3776. Are you interested and do you like hearing that they are in hot pursuit of Lonzo Ball and how much of a difference could that potentially make? I think that would help them tremendously.
Vucevic, Ball, and Levine. Zach.
Lowry
doesn't scream off the page. It's a big three, does it?
No.
Doesn't scream at me, you know? Hoorah! Big three coming out of Bulls.
They're probably a playoff team.
Maybe.
I would think they are.
Maybe. I mean, that's an improvement they still had to make, don't they?
Yes.
That's a big improvement. Pat Williams is playing what then?
Yes.
You're four? Small forward?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, boy, I'm excited. Whoa, where do I sign the Bulls deal at? I mean, I'd love to get that one.
No love for Lonzo.
What are season tickets for them? I'd love to
buy season tickets.
These names scream off the page for me for Chicago Bulls entertainment.
If they traded for Giannis tomorrow, you wouldn't say.
Let me go a different direction on you real quick. It's on the basketball thing.
Yeah.
And you said New Orleans. Isn't New Orleans the franchise that's ready to move to Vegas? Are they the worst franchise kind of fit in that, kind of force-fed into New Orleans for one reason or another? If one was going to move someplace to Vegas, wouldn't it be them?
They might be the best candidate to move.
Don't you think?
Or to Seattle. Like, doesn't Seattle want a team back? I mean, they've got a hockey team.
The Kraken are coming there. I don't know. The Pacific Northwest is weird.
I'm trying to think if there's any other spot where, like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, the Oklahoma City, they support that team.
Yes, they do. They love them.
OKC.
So I do think New Orleans is the weirdest team.
Yeah.
I think a lot of leagues have figured out Sacramento. They don't want teams moving. Like, they want the expansion fee. They want to split up whatever, 500, 600.
Oh, 600 schmil.
Yes.
That's where they get to split.
Basketball is crappy enough.
What about Sacramento? Now they built a new stadium, though. They're not leaving. Sacramento's a wasteland.
They will have one or two expansion teams and just take the money.
Yeah. I want to know what Bulls fans think about the potential of signing Lonzo Ball. If you're excited for that, 312-332-3776. Zach LaVine's eligible for an extension. That's probably something that's going to have to wait till next year, though. Zach's not going to, I don't think, want the extension that he can sign now because it'd be a couple million dollar bump. He wants the big one.
Yeah, money.
He can renegotiate and extend, but it would eat into their cap space. And if he's going to work with them and he wants to be here long term, maybe they're talking behind the scenes about, listen, instead of doing this now, like, give us another year, give us the cap space, we'll make this team even better, we'll make the playoffs, we'll become more attractive to people, then we'll go into use the bird rights next year where we can give you the big monster deal.
Right.
I'm thinking that is the way they have to approach this. And Zach even said, Brian Windhorst says he's over in Tokyo covering the Olympics, and he's got a column up this morning on ESPN.com. And Zach reiterated again, he said, quote, "I just want my respect. That's the main thing." I outplayed my contract. I've been very loyal to Chicago. I like Chicago. I just want my respect. If that's now or later, it's something we've got to work out internally. And they probably ultimately will. That's a whole other conversation. Like, I don't know. I mean, Zach is, he's easy to like, man, and I think he's real good, but is he worth the $38 million a year they're going to have to pay him a year from now or whatever that contract is? I suppose he is, because where else are you getting it?
How you, like, replace him with somebody better?
Well, but I like, where else are you getting it if you're the Bulls? You, like, how many times have we gone over this? Like, the free agents in the NBA basically sign in like three or four places. Unfortunately, Chicago's not one of them. We're a cold weather city with high taxes. Like, I do think it matters. They go to Miami.
Get somebody better than him.
You know, they go, if they're going to go cold Texas. Weather, they go to New York, or they go to even Texas.
I mean, my point is Texas, no state taxes.
Yeah.
So if you're going to sign a big money deal like that, and it's for $38 million for what, 6 years? You're looking at $128 million. $228 million.
They'll pay the tax in California because the weather's beautiful in L.A.
Right.
They'll go to Miami because the weather's beautiful and there's no state income tax. Well, we don't have either of those to offer. The taxes are high and the weather stinks in the winter. I honestly think it matters.
But the taxes aren't as high as California, even with the nice weather, Carmen.
Well, I don't know if that's
even with the nice weather, because I'm telling you, it's graduated tax out there. It's 11%.
I know.
State tax for the kind of money those guys are making.
That weather's pretty nice, though, York. I got to be honest with you. When it's 70 on the beach in December or in January. 312-332-3776. Bulls free agency. You into it. You hoping for Lonzo. We will take your calls when we come back next.
Get Carmen and Yurko pods on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
White Sox take two or three from the Indians. Don't get many hope. We'll make it a 7-game lead. It's back to 9. They send them packing. I think there's only 4 games left. Could be when they clinch in Cleveland. We still got to plan that trip. It's week 3 of the NFL season. The Bears are playing in Cleveland on that Sunday, and the White Sox have a 4-game set, including a doubleheader, I think.
What about the game we're going to here in the month of August that we're giving away tickets for?
Yeah, we got to finalize that. We're working.
Let's get it finalized,
brother. I'm going to one of the Yankee games. I'm going to the Sunday game in a couple of weeks.
Sounds
looking forward to that.
Like, you're going to a lot of games, but what about the one we're going to where we're giving away tickets?
All right, well, listen, you're asking me like I know something that you don't. I don't, but we'll work on it.
You're my leader, man.
Okay, thank
you. You're my compadre, man. You're my big toe, Sergeant Hulk, is what you are. Don't go sitting there saying now you've got no responsibilities.
We need to tell the boss man, Mike Thomas, we'll drive to Cleveland. We've done it.
That's right.
Numerous times between Urlacher going to the Hall.
Love that trip.
And the World Series run in 16 with the Cubs. Let's go. White Sox in Cleveland clinching and maybe a Bears win on the road in Cleveland. I think that'd be fantastic when they take on the Browns.
The double dip.
It's the double dip. We got to do it.
I know some guys in Cleveland, believe it or not.
You know people everywhere.
My 1 year of thievery there where I wore a mask on every Tuesday.
Matt is downtown on ESPN 1000. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. I'll try to give you the season ticket holder perspective. I mean, I've been rooting for this team for a long time. I love what LaVine has done to improve his game. I love that they went out and tried to get Vucevic and at least see if this pair can be a good combo. And I just think at this point, Lonzo Ball is the best player out there to hopefully unlock their potential. I don't see another facilitating point guard that's going to be better. I don't think this is a championship team unless Patrick Williams develops surprisingly into the superstar we hope he can be. But at least if we're going to sign LaVine and make it his team next year, we have to give him an opportunity to play off the ball and see if he can further develop. So Lonzo's not perfect, but I admire all the work he's done on his game, and maybe a new change of scenery is going to be good and unlock the potential with Vooch and LaVine.
I think love that's your thoughts. Matt, I think it's well said. I'm with you. Like, he's not perfect, but I have admitted that I've done a 180 on Lonzo. And there is a skill set that I can appreciate while he's far from perfect. And I'll take Lonzo Ball over Ben Simmons any day. You call me crazy all you want, and people do all the time. That's fine. But give me Lonzo right now over Ben. At least Lonzo there are some tangible things you can look at that how he has worked on his offensive game. And he's not afraid. Let's go to Pete the Greek on ESPN 1000. What up, Pete?
What's going on, guys? I was just listening. You want to know what Bulls Nation out here thinking of Lonzo Ball? And I have a pretty decent sized group of friends. We all talk sports, and not one has had anything bad to say about if Lonzo comes to Chicago. I feel like there's no one else out there, and we're not in the bottom end of a rebuild, but we're not exactly there. I think Lonzo Ball would be the perfect fit. If he signs somewhere else, I think I'm going to just weep for another year. I think we need him bad.
Pete, thanks, buddy. We appreciate it. Don't weep for a whole year. And look, they might want to sign and trade and feel like they can get a better player. What if they sign and trade with Boston and they get Marcus Smart? They might like Marcus Smart more than they like Coby White or anybody else the Bulls can offer, right? I mean, it's not like he's not an unrestricted free agent. So it's not as easy as, hey, Lonzo, we love you, dude. Here's four for 84. Like, come on. Okay, we're ready to go. Like, it's not, unfortunately, it's not that simple.
If he's the target, you've got more confidence in this group getting it done, though?
Yeah, I do, actually. George is in Old Town. What up, George?
Call me crazy, but I still like to go after Damian, and I would trade LaVine if you could or put some kind of deal together. I haven't followed it that closely, but I think he could bring the he could really advance the team a lot better than Lonzo Ball. I just don't think he is good enough shooting to bring the team together.
He's certainly going to play here without LaVine, though, then. Is that what you want? I mean, thank you, George. Is the Dame Lillard Vooch combo good enough for you? Maybe it is.
Should we be concerned, by the way, that they said that it seems like Zach LaVine is very close with Durant right now. And
they're buddy-buddy over there?
And maybe Durant's saying to him, hey, listen, you're done after a year.
Come to Brooklyn?
Come to Brooklyn.
A little chummy?
How many guys can they sign in Brooklyn? Maron? I mean, you know, they don't have enough.
How long is Kyrie there for a while, too?
I think, right? It's Kyrie. It's Harden. It's Durant. You're going to add Zach LaVine? I mean,
my initial reaction to what happened in Los Angeles with Russell Westbrook going there was, they've only got one basketball. So what are they planning on really doing?
Miller and I have a theory on that. We talked about it Friday. Like, I think LeBron is going to take
a step back
and just wait for the playoffs. And I think it's, I think, say what you want about Russ, and he's far from perfect either. He's a dynamo. Like,
right.
He doesn't ever stop playing. I think LeBron's like, you guys are going to play the regular season, and I'm going to be, we're going to try to finally all be healthy. And we're going to go nuts come next spring.
And then it spurned my second idea, how to make NBA regular season basketball funner.
More fun?
More fun.
Is a word or is it more fun?
No, I think
hopefully funner is a word.
Funner.
More fun.
More fun. How to make it more fun. Let's do it that way.
Yeah,
let's make it more fun.
How do you make it more fun? Yeah.
Do you know how we make it more fun?
How?
Not much unlike pinball when the second ball gets introduced.
Put another ball.
Put another ball in play. Like in a special time, bonus time. Yeah,
whoever invented that little, maybe that was always the case. I don't know. Pinball predates me by some years. Was it always, you know, the two ball action or the three ball action? Or was that like something that was introduced to make pinball even better? Because it makes pinball better.
Yeah.
Yurko's right.
Well, yeah.
Remember the time the second ball came out? Now all of a sudden it's game on.
Well, okay, but my thing with regular season basketball, that's a true second
ball.
And that would be great for a team like the Lakers that got all that talent.
Two balls on the court.
But with teams like Detroit, then just don't do it, like no ball.
And one ball, like in the 3-point contest, is a money ball, Yurk.
Right.
And it's worth, so which ball do you guard? Do you guard the money ball because you don't want the extra? I love it. Let's do it.
You know what?
Waddle's going nuts in his car right now.
Ice Cube just made 3-on-3 basketball.
I know.
You and I can elevate this thing, man.
We're going to play with two balls. What do you think about that?
Oh, hey.
Whoa. Re-rack it, Miller. There's the
what about basketball, though?
Oh, my head. My brain Miller, just burst.
Go ahead. That's the last word. I gave him a gem last Thursday, too.
I thought of these things while I was drinking lemonades and vodka in the pool.
I bet.
I thought about that two ball action.
Okay.
Yurk, are you a shirt off or shirt on guy in the pool?
You could use that one, too.
Shirt off for sure. Who goes on in the pool with a shirt on?
Shirt on.
Listen, Yurko.
You want to see the tan I got?
Do you think he's ashamed or embarrassed?
Yeah, you ever seen this boiler? I once had a young kid hide a Twinkie in my belly button.
I remember.
That's how deep it is.
Yurko has a Tony Soprano-esque masculinity about him.
That's right.
You know, women go crazy. He's got the Kavorka.
The Kavorka.
He takes his shirt off. They go nuts. Let's go to Lewis in Hyde Park. What up, Lewis?
What up, Lewis?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Great,
how do you like my two-ball theory for regular season basketball?
Well, I just want to say one thing. The Bulls did really well in the draft by picking up Ayo Dosunmu. I think he's going to be that future shooting guard for us because he has Dwayne Wade type ability. He's good on offense.
He's playing
he's good on defense.
Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade. Wow. All right.
Yeah, but I'm saying Dwayne Wade type of player, like combo, capability, combo like when Dwayne came out. Right, he plays both sides of the ball.
Yep.
I mean, if you watch Illinois games, I mean, that's all he did.
Yeah.
So I think futuristically, he can be that shooting guard guy for us. You got Patrick Williams who's developing as a small four. And if we can bring ball in, that high basketball IQ, you know, the ability to shoot, then that really strengthens our perimeter and our backcourt from defense, offense, whatsoever. Now, one thing I want to say before I leave, the only thing you have to worry about Lonzo Ball, he could possibly be injury prone. He missed a lot of games with the Lakers his first two seasons, and he missed a lot of games with the Pelicans as well. So this is a question mark. Can he play a full 82-game season? Because even his brother missed half of the second half because of a fractured wrist. But I do like the Lonzo Ball pickup if we get him because he's a restricted free agent. So the Pelicans could match if we offer him.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm definitely on board for Lonzo Ball.
And they could sign and trade him somewhere else.
Thanks,
man. We appreciate it. 312-332-3776 if you've got a thought. Kevin's on the south side. Go ahead, Kevin.
What's up, guys? Yeah, I'd like to talk about the Bulls, longtime Bulls fan, but I just feel like they haven't been put together real well just based on Zach LaVine's probably one of the more overrated players in the NBA. He's all flash. He's a flash player, flashy, but just not reliable, not consistent. We just need some more consistency, some more rough and rugged players in the team. Vucevic, he's a finesse player. And I think they're bringing in Lonzo Ball because he's more of a rough and rugged type of player.
Some grit.
All around. But other than that, it just seems like we got a bunch of finesse players. And then we got a bunch of players who aren't finesse, but not as skilled rough and rugged players. There's no cohesion and there's no balance.
We need some boiling types.
I don't think Zach is all flash. I don't think Zach is a perfect player by any stretch of the imagination.
But you need some more grit.
But I don't think Zach is all flash.
Hey, caller's asking for more grit. The fan is asking for more grit.
So much grit.
Boiling.
So much finesse.
We're going to play a little bit more of Jed Hoyer and Rick Hahn, who were both on the station earlier today with Cap and Hoodie, as the White Sox and the Cubs were wheeling and dealing before the weekend started on Friday with the trade deadline arriving in Major League Baseball. So we'll play a few more highlights of that before we get out of here. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back. This hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. Coach Fitz and the 2020 Big Ten West Division champs return to Ryan Field this fall for matchups with MSU, Iowa, and more. Season and single game tickets are on sale now. Visit nusports.com.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Carmen and Yurko with you at home or in your office.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Then you have to get to DeFalco. He is the rookie for Team USA. Other teams have targeted him. If you can get him off the floor, you're going to make the USA search for ball control. There's DeFalco just unloading down the line. Number 8 for the United States. DeFalco now with 8 kills on 16 swings. DeFalco has been unable to get a hold of opponents the same way he has been in practice. But what has been demanded of DeFalco with this team? A year ago, he's not even going to make the roster, and then he comes in as the starter. I couldn't be more impressed with this kid who has impressed at every level.
DeFalco has got most of those. Nice defensive staff.
And the Americans are piling up errors per normal.
DeFalco got in on a 3-man block.
DeFalco's right up there in terms of his ability to take a quick set and spin you pretty wide, either hard angle or straight down the line.
My cousins did good things. I know they were. Who knew you could target in volleyball? I never played volleyball. I don't know. Meller says, they're targeting him. They lost yesterday, the U.S. Yeah. to Argentina.
They couldn't get a serve in, man.
They couldn't get a serve in. My cousin struggled a little bit, but, you know.
Do you know if there's a relation?
Because my cousin. What do you mean? We're real proud of him.
Three-man block.
You think there's a bunch of DeFalcos running around out there?
What do you think? It's like Smith or Murray?
Well, listen, kid, your defensive staff is something to behold.
My defensive staff, runs in the family.
You're one of those guys that wants to be on the three-man block.
That's right.
Yes.
We're very proud of him. We have big watch parties. You know, he's young. He's going to continue to grow and mature.
And isn't that crazy? He's playing against Argentina.
Where
his family's from, too.
Some, my mom and a few
others. A lot of Italians.
We're very, very, very proud of him, though. And
you should be.
You got nothing to hang your head on. Is that the expression? You don't have to hang your head, excuse me.
You did great for your first time in 3 years. It'll be a quick turnaround for the summer games. In Paris, I believe. You wait. He's going to carry the family name to Paris, and they will win gold. I'm declaring it now. They will win gold in 3 years, and my cousin will do great things.
The Winter Olympics next year, Carm?
Yes.
Do you know where?
Stockholm.
Beijing, China.
Beijing. I was close.
Great chances of success there.
All right, so a few things real quick. If you missed Rick Hahn or Jed Hoyer on the station earlier today, get to the ESPN Chicago app and catch up. Cap and Hoodie talked to both GMs. I love this line here from Rick Hahn about Kimbrel's future. This isn't just necessarily, hey, let's pick him up for 2 months, 3 months, and see how it goes. There's an option for next year. Here's Rick Hahn talking about Kimbrel's option.
Certainly, when we acquired Craig, it was very much with the understanding that he was controllable for 2022, and that there's a extremely strong chance that he gets to play an important role for us again next year. So we didn't view him, or for that matter, Cesar Hernandez, who also has a team option on him, as simply rentals. You know, that enhances the price a little bit, which, you know, we paid knowing that this was not necessarily a one and done with either player.
Yeah, I was just thrilled. I was so thrilled when I saw the news. I was thrilled when I saw, you know, what they had to give up, that it didn't include Garrett Crochet, that it didn't include their top prospect in the minor league system. And no disrespect to Nick Madrigal, and he'll be a fine player. I think he'll play a while because he's got a skill set. And yes, he makes contact. And in an age when that's dying, teams will look for it. But I think there's a cap on what he can really produce offensively to a team because there's no slug. So I couldn't believe it. I looked at that and I'm like, that's a great deal for the Sox. And I think Kimbrel will help them tremendously. And it could be for more than just this year. And do you want to hear a different Jed Hoyer? Or should we play
You like? Carl.
Really, the one that, you know, and this had Yurko going this morning. You know, it had Yurko. He came in like a raging bull.
I was hot.
He was hot.
I want to know who's not telling the truth.
This is, you know, because we all remember Chris Bryant denying that he ever turned down an extension north of $200 million.
Sounds to me like somebody's not telling the truth here.
This is like subjective stuff, though. Like, well, what's well north of $200 million? And what's the Cubs' idea of, our offers will hold up well historically? You'll see. I mean, who knows? We're never going to get official numbers. So a lot of this is subjective. But this was Jed Hoyer talking to the guys earlier today about not being able to get long-term deals done with the core guys.
So that is the thing that will probably be my greatest source of frustration from this era. And I don't want to address, you know, any one of these individually, because I think we said, you know, we wouldn't talk about, you know, extension talks, you know, publicly. And I think it's in bad faith to sort of do it now. But the only thing I will say is that while frustrating, I put my head on the pillow every night knowing that we put our best foot forward. The extensions that we offered these guys will hold up exceptionally well. Historically, they'll hold up exceptionally well against the open market. And I don't know why guys didn't want to sign. I don't know why guys didn't want to even counteroffer oftentimes. I don't know. I know, because every one of these guys would say they wanted to stay in Chicago. We want to be a Cub. But then when we sit down and do negotiations, that wasn't how they acted. And, you know, I see a guy like Lance Lynn who comes to Chicago and, you know, signs an extension. He certainly, you know, could have gotten more on the open market this winter. But, hey, I want to stay here. I want to be a White Sox. And, you know, that wasn't something, you know, other than Kyle Hendricks, who I admire for really rolling up his sleeves with us, we didn't have that. And so it's a source of incredible frustration for me, but at the same time, it's a source of zero second guessing. It's a source of zero, you know, analysis from my end that what could we have done, because I look at it and I know what was offered and I know what the dialogue was. And I think we put our best foot forward. We tried our hardest, and, you know, those efforts were not reciprocated.
It'll make it interesting to see what happens with Wilson Contreras and how they try to attack that, and if they can convince him and if he'll take their money. And he didn't want to talk about him on an individual basis, but if we look just at Chris Bryant, because let's face it, Chris is the best one out of the group. Maybe it was never in the cards. Like Yurko said, he could have always been a little bit upset about the clock control. And knowing his agent, maybe it was just never in the cards. Scott Boras gets his guys paid. Show us the examples where he doesn't. And maybe it was just he was constantly telling Chris at every turn, dude, you're not $200 million. Don't worry, man. I'm going to get you more. I'm going to get you $25 million a year. I'm going to get you $28 million a year. Maybe the pandemic's adjusted that. Maybe not. Boras normally gets his guys paid. We'll see.
Yeah, only time will tell. I mean, it was supposed to trend up to $32, $35 million a year. Trout was supposed to be $40 million a year. None of those numbers are happening.
Thanks to our guest, Dan Weeder. Great job by Merck and by Mellor. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks, everybody who listened, called, and participated. Greeny's next. Then it's Waddle and Sylvie, then Bleck and Abdallah tonight. NBC volleyball announcers have the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have a last word.
On Carmen and Yurko.
And the Americans are piling up errors per normal.
DeFalco got in on a three-man block.
DeFalco has been unable to get a hold of opponents the same way he has been in practice.
DeFalco has got most of those. Nice defensive staff.
DeFalco's right up there in terms of his ability to take a quick set and spin you pretty wide, either hard angle or straight down the line.
That was the final word on Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.